This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Big news over the weekend is Gary Woodland wins the United States Open out at Pebble Beach. So let's welcome aboard right now Peter Kostas, CBS Sports golf analyst, joins us now. Hey, Peter, Taz and the Moose, we appreciate the time here, and this morning we really do.
Peter, what's up, man?
Nada. You know, getting ready to go to Hartford this week to start four in a row on CBS. But, enjoying the weekend that we had with the U.S. Open.
Yeah, it was, the scene and the setting. And Peter, I do think it works where you have, you know, the coverage going into prime time where it's out west. And you're able to enjoy your Father's Day. And then all of a sudden you get locked into a little golf as those tee times were, you know, after, 4:45 and later Eastern time. I think that works.
Well, you know, it works for one huge reason, is because you can go out and play golf.
Yeah, that's true.
Enjoy your day on the golf course and not worry about missing it. Then you can come home afterwards, sit down and watch the tournament.
That's actually a good point. Didn't think of that. Peter, let me ask you, how impressed were you with Woodland being able to stay calm and poised Sunday, knowing what was in front of him?
Well, you know, I've known Gary for a long time. First of all, I couldn't be happier for anybody to win their first major than Gary. What he and his wife have gone through with their kids and stuff. He's a phenomenal human being. I'm not really surprised at him being able to keep his composure. What's always been his weak link has been his short game and putting. It's let him down. His ball striking has always been upper echelon. And so I was really interested to see how his short game and putting would hold up over the weekend, and he did brilliantly. So, you know, he deserves the W.
You know, Peter, you mentioned, tell us a little bit about Gary, you know, for those that don't know, right, that, you know, are watching the Open this weekend and maybe have seen him obviously have some success on the PGA Tour, but and some major success where he's finished in the top 10, you know, a couple times past year, but don't really know him. Tell us a little bit about Gary.
He's a little bit of the new breed of golfers, even though he's 35 years old, in the sense that, you know, he was a baseball and especially basketball player at Kansas. And one day he woke up, realized he wasn't going to make it to the NBA, later on in college. And that's when he really started taking up golf seriously, which is hugely late, for the sport of golf. Most people will pick it up at, 8, 10, 12 years old and stay with it. So he is the prototypical athlete from other sports who are gravitating toward golf. There's fewer concussions, fewer cross checks.
Yes.
It's a sport you can play for 30, 40 years competitively. And so he is a tremendous athlete who decided, like Brooks Koepka, to take up golf.
Now, speaking of Brooks Koepka, so I want to ask you, Pete, I mean, how incredible has it been, you know, as a golf fan, just watching this ride from Brooks?
Well, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people in the media, when they make their predictions and this and that, it's really a popularity contest. It's not really based on a lot of fact. It's whether or not they like the person. And Brooks is kind of withdrawn, a little shy. I think he's a great guy. I get along with him well. But he was never in the picture, with the golf world, the media in the golf world. But now you got to put him there. I mean, he is doing stuff that Tiger did, quite frankly. You know, winning half of his majors, the last ones, lost this one, finished second. So he's right there every single major championship. He is first class, no question about it.
So there's no doubt when you look at Koepka and, he talks about a lack of respect, Peter. Why do you think you mentioned he's a little bit of an introvert? Why do you think he doesn't necessarily get the buzz and the respect that he deserves?
Because it's a popularity contest, I mean, I was at the PGA walking with Brooks on Sunday at Belle Reve 2 years ago. And Tiger was obviously two groups ahead of us. And I made the comment that if anybody, should Brooks go on to win this tournament, if anybody in the media wants to find out how he did it, they're going to have to go back and watch a replay of the CBS telecast, because not a one of them was with Brooks. They were all with
Tiger, yeah.
And other group, you know. And so he fell short on the popularity list, and as a consequence, he didn't get the benefit of the doubt. He had to prove himself over and over and over again. Now, luckily, I mean, as you guys know this, there's two kinds of athletes. Those that need a pat on the back to go ahead and perform their best, and those that need a kick in the rear end to go perform their best. And Brooks is that kind of guy. So he took all those slights and turned it into a, not even a chip, but a log that he carried on his shoulder, and it propelled him to perform better. It's,
yeah.
Okay, you don't think I can do it? Watch.
Right, so he used that, the lack of respect or attention, whatever word you want to use it, that the love that everybody was giving Tiger, because he, you know, everybody always does, because he moves the needle, and for ignoring Koepka, Koepka then used that as motivation. Let me ask you, just because you know Brooks so well, I mean, do you feel, again, I don't know the guy from Hole in the Wall, neither does Moose, but it seems like, I mean, you would tell us better, Pete, I mean, maybe is Brooks Koepka the type of guy that kind of, he probably doesn't want that kind of attention anyway? Like, he's kind of stays to himself and he's so zoned in when he's playing, he probably don't want that, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, when you get to world number one, when you start winning majors at a multiple major clip, you, along with that comes everything that social media and our popular world now gives you. And some people embrace that. Some people would rather not have that happen. They'd rather go to dinner in anonymity, you know.
Right.
Brooks, I think, is someplace in between. I think he doesn't really care. He's going to surround himself with the people that he likes. He's going to do what he wants to do, and he's going to continue to compete because he loves competition.
No, true, and honestly, the consistency. I guess that's the thing, the mindset that surprise, not surprise, but really kind of hits you when you watch him, Peter, with Koepka, that is. Is just the remarkable consistency in his nature and his approach in these majors. And people talk about the cockiness and the arrogance and some of the statements that he's had in the past, and you know how he feels like he's mentally tougher than everybody else. I mean, can hit the ball in the country mile. I mean, just that shot on 18 yesterday is a perfect case in point. He realizes he's trailing it. I mean, he gives himself an opportunity as he absolutely stripes that, you know, his driving iron, to put it onto the green. You know, it's those kind of shots with the understanding of what's on the line where he's able to come through and at least give him a chance late to maybe pull off a miracle.
Yeah, I mean, he has 100% confidence in himself and in his abilities. And he has a great ability, as all champions do, to deflect the pressure of the moment to either the future or the past. They don't live with that pressure when they're shooting a free throw or the count's 0-2 or you got to hit a long iron onto the green at Pebble Beach on the 18th hole to have a chance to win. I mean, he has that ability to channel all of his energies, all of his tensions to another place and go ahead and perform. And that's special.
Yes, it is.
That's what Jack Nicklaus had. That's what Tiger Woods had.
Peter, let me ask you, speaking of Tiger Woods, what do you make of Tiger's up-and-down performance from the weekend?
I think the thing that I've come to realize, and I've always said this with Tiger, you know, people will say, well, can he get to 19 majors? Can he beat Sam Snead's 82 wins and all that stuff? I said, look, the answer is yes if he stays healthy. Everything about Tiger has to do with his back. And I do think that the change in the schedule with the PGA moving from warm weather August to cooler weather May is going to impact him, because I've now seen at Bethpage Black where the weather was cool, at Pebble Beach where the weather was cool, he had back issues of some sort, whether it was stiffness or pain or whatever, I don't know. But he clearly isn't the same golfer when it's below 65 degrees as he is when it's above 75 degrees. So that's mostly what I take out of this, that he did as well as he could do, given the body he had to perform with this week.
You know, with that being said, Peter, when you look at Tiger in terms of what we saw down in Augusta and what we think we'll see him here the rest of the way, I mean, do you think it's going to be the case here where, you know, you're going to have, I guess I'll ask it this way, roundabout fashion, what's your expectations of Tiger in terms of in majors for the next 4 or 5 years?
I think you're going to see Tiger really modifying his schedule to monitor what happens to his back. That's everything. So he's going to probably play less rather than more. It's going to be more difficult for him to get prepared for the majors, not playing as much, but it's what he's going to do to keep his back in working order. So, you know, Tiger's going to have opportunities down the road to win more majors and obviously win more tournaments. It's not going to be, you can't say he's got 10 more years and 4 majors a year, therefore he's got 40 chances at it. I don't see it happening that way because, again, cool weather, back issues, you can wipe half of those 40 away. So he's going to have to pick and choose where he can be aggressive and where he'll be playing with what we used to call his A game.
All right, Peter. Yeah, we're talking to Peter Costas, CBS Sports golf analyst, reacted to what we all witnessed over the weekend, Gary Woodland's victory at the U.S. Open out at Pebble Beach. Couldn't be a prettier atmosphere for a tournament, certainly, out there and out west. You know, another U.S. Open is come and gone here for Mickelson, Peter, without him hoisting up and winning that trophy and being crowned U.S. Open champion, something that, you know, he's obviously finished second, you know, more than a handful of times. He's threatened. He's still won that championship short of the career Grand Slam. He's now his late 40s. Are we looking here at the end of Mickelson's, Mickelson being a true competitor and a threat to win the U.S. Open?
Right now, Phil is all about hitting it far. He is unwilling to accept that he doesn't have his 97-mile-an-hour fastball anymore. And just like I'll go to other sports, just like, you know, the pitcher who has to go away from his 97-mile-an-hour fastball when he turns 35, has to learn to pitch. He has to develop new pitches, a changeup, a curve, or whatever the case may be. You pitch differently, but you still compete, and you compete at an elite level. Phil, in my opinion, is going nowhere if he continues to just swing hard at it and hope that he's on a given week. He has to do a little bit of what Tiger's done. Tiger's taken a little bit off of his speed, obviously due to his bat, but he's hitting more fairways, he's driving it more consistently, and he's giving himself a chance to compete. But as long as Phil going to Wingfoot, swinging from his rear end, is going to do nothing but, you know, put him in the trees and in the long rough, and it's not going to be a pretty picture. He's got to figure out a different way of playing. He's got to realize he's at a different stage in his career and modify his strategy and his style to fit reality.
Do you think he will?
No.
You don't?
I love Phil to death. I know him really well. He is as stubborn as they get. Lots of great athletes are really stubborn. It's that stubbornness that gets you to the top of the mountain, but it's also the stubbornness that can cause you to plummet down the mountain if you're not careful. So, yeah, Phil's too stubborn to change. Once he makes his mind up, that's what he's going to do.
You know, Peter, a lot of people looked at this Open and saying, Dustin's going to win this, right? And, you know, we know how long he is off the tee, and he's got all the game and everything like that, as long as the putter is there. Didn't have a great weekend out at Pebble Beach. What about Dustin here and the expectations, what you saw this weekend here, and what do you expect to see the rest of the summer here on the PGA Tour?
Well, I mean, we've only got one major left, the British, and obviously the FedEx Cup playoffs. Dustin's going to be fine. If I issue a note of caution, it's that several times this year he's put himself in contention and had bad Sundays, and that's not a very comforting thing to look at. So if he can get that organized, I think really with him it revolves around his putter. I think he hit the golf ball really sufficiently well to win by 2 or 3 shots this weekend if he'd have putted well. So we have to remain cautious about the rest of the year for him. However, having said that, if he finds his putting stroke and he finds his confidence with the putter, he could win 3 or 4 more times this year.
Yeah, and that's the thing with him. It's all really around the green. It's not tee to green. It's really around the green. Whenever he gets going with that putter, I mean, he's as good as it gets on the golf game. Peter, final one for you before we let you go. And that is, you know, a lot was made of Jason Day changing caddies, going to Williams, Tiger's old caddy, before the start of the U.S. Open. People thought maybe it was a little bit strange. What about Day? He didn't play all that well this weekend, but a very, very talented kid, has challenged in majors before. How about Jason Day rest of the way?
Well, I mean, again, he's battled injuries, and I think he's I don't know if Stevie Williams is going to be on the bag permanently, or if he was just on the bag for the U.S. Open and maybe the British Open.
Okay.
I don't know what that's going to be moving forward, but he's obviously trying to find some motivation to get himself to work harder, to get himself to be a little bit more confident going into especially big events. So it's encouraging for me that he'll make a change like that, because he still wants to try and get better. And that's the key, you know. It's to be a great player, you have to have the skills of a major leaguer, but play like a little leaguer. And right now, his skills of a major leaguer are lacking a little bit. He needs to get his golf swing in order and get his work ethic in order. And when he does that, I think he can play well again.
And, Peter, I think this new calendar works. You know, you get the Masters, then in May you get the PGA. In June you get the U.S. Open. In July you get the Open Championships over, you know, across the pond. I think the new, major schedule works.
I think it works great for the majors. I think that there'll be some tournaments along the way that have been long-standing PGA Tour events that are going to get hurt with the new schedule, because the players can't play over the week. They've got to take a week off somewhere. But that being said, it's fun to have a major event each and every month, April, May, June, July.
And Peter, Taz and I often talk about Nance here. It's got to be when Nance shows up
on
a golf course, it has got to be like a conquering hero, correct?
He is the white knight coming in on his stallion.
Hello, friends.
And he will reign over everything. Yes.
That's true. I love that analogy. That's hilarious, Pete.
Hey, Peter, we appreciate the time this morning. We really do. We enjoy your work on CBS. You do a great job, and thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Peter, thank you, man.
You got it.
Take care,
thanks,
buddy.
Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.